Hello and welcome to Pop a la Carte number 34. This week we are going to do a little bit of a WonderCon recap. Yes, a week and a half after, because that's when you're going to hear this probably, but that's okay. We have fun stuff and we want to talk about it.
Yeah.
And we've had a break now.
And you may still not have heard it.
Yes, it's true. There's a lot of things that you may not have heard because some of them are still not even up on the website yet. Some news, upcoming stuff, trailers, fun stuff that we want to talk about. Our MCU recap, we're getting there, guys. We're so close. We're so close.
Like
we're doubling
up. 2/3 of the way now.
I know. Oh, God, we're so close, but it hurts. And I love the MCU, but it hurts. Anyway, we're going to do Avengers, Age of Ultron, and Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will finish up with
a Shadowhunters interview.
Yeah, which we're going to apologize now. The quality isn't completely great because it was done over their phone. But, you know, we thought if you're a fan, you'll want it anyway.
Yeah,
but
if you like Alberto Rosende, if you like Simon Lewis, then you will be able to hear his crackly voice and or read my write-up of the interview.
Yes, the write-up will be on withanaccent.com, as always. Like, all the interviews and stuff are also on our YouTube. The interviews we're going to be talking about from WonderCon.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll start there. I'm Valerie.
And I'm Tatiana.
WonderCon.
You say it with, like, it sounds like it was horrible. You're like, well that was just an experience.
It's funny because, like, this year felt so exhausting.
Oh, really?
And it was only 2 days because I didn't go Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And I do, what, 5 days of Comic-Con every year? And I don't know, I'm like, how do I survive? But I think it really makes a difference when you get a hotel.
Yeah.
I think it really, really helps if you stay there. And when we're doing WonderCon, we just commute.
Yeah, I was going to say, I imagine the parking's horrible. Like, I did get a hotel, well, because I went with a friend who had one. So I was like, I'll just stay here. It's
there
fine.
There you go. Yes. That always helps.
Yeah. And it is much less exhausting when you do it that way. But I didn't really get to do that many, like, panels for my for myself.
Yeah.
You know?
That's always, the more you do press, the less you can do for yourself.
Right. The one thing that I actually did do was watch the go to the Constantine panel, which I wouldn't have done otherwise because I wasn't going to go to the press room.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed it. Like, I loved what they showed us with City of Demons.
Yeah. I haven't watched it yet because those five episodes are on now.
Yes.
Or
I'm not sure.
CW Seed.
Yes, CW Seed. I'm not sure if they put up the, like, next five or whatever yet.
What they said in the press room that they're doing is, so the first five are up. They're going to release, like, on video on demand and DVD and everything, the entire thing as one long movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometime after that's done, they will put the last five on CW Seed.
Oh, well, that's kind of rude.
So they are teasing you and then trying to get you to buy it and then teasing you again. Okay, now we can go back. Anyway, we have to remember to do that. Anyway, obviously, yes, it's a tease, and then they want you to spend money, and then they're going to give you the rest if you're cheap.
But you can watch the full series, like, of the original Constantine series on CW Seed, right?
Yes.
Because that's something I need to do. That's something I need to do. I haven't watched it. But that...
You haven't seen the whole series
I've never seen Constantine, like, the live action.
Oh, it was so good.
Yeah, but watching that little animated version did make me want to. So.
Yeah, it was really, really great, and it's really depressing that it got, like, it was so obvious it was going to get canceled, because NBC just did not know what they had and what to do with it. Mm-hmm. It was not right for NBC.
Right.
Like, I don't, And then I have to assume that there's either some kind of deal that they can't put it on CW.
That's what I'm thinking.
Or the CW or just don't want to do it because they already have Supernatural.
Yeah, but it can't be that they don't want to do it. I feel like
people would watch it.
I feel
it.
Like they'd jump on it, for sure.
Honestly, most of the audience for Supernatural is not going to be the Constantine audience.
Right.
You're going to have actual comic book fans as opposed to Supernatural, who they're mostly fans who just like all the guys.
Yeah. I mean, they clearly think the Legends audience wants Constantine.
Yeah.
So there's no reason to.
Although I still say I kind of resent every time he's on that show because, man, it's bad. And I don't know what I'm going to do if it gets renewed next year and he really is a series regular, because I'm like, I feel like I need to watch it because I love him.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I don't want to watch that show.
You're so hateful towards Legends.
I know.
And so alone.
Yeah. So many people love it.
Yeah, the critics love it now.
It's just... you know what? I keep telling people, everybody's like, it's stupid fun. And it's like, okay, but there's a lot of smart fun out there.
Right.
And I don't have time to watch all of that. So why would I watch stupid fun?
Mm-hmm. You know?
There's too many shows. You can't watch them all.
Right.
And that's one of the hardest things of, like,
and not
to do
everyone
this as
is
a
going
job.
To enjoy everything.
Yeah, exactly. But that's one of the hardest things of doing this as a job, because everybody's like, expects you to be up on everything, and you're like, you do realize I have other shit I have to do. I can't just sit and watch television.
Right.
And I watch a lot of television. Although not nearly as much as I used to.
Yeah. I watch a lot of television.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of which I watch and did interviews for was Black Lightning, which is another CW superhero. And that was great. Interviewed with the writers, so, like,
not as the writers and the producers, yeah. None of the cast were there.
Right, none of the cast. So I guess not as many of the press people went because they wasn't going to be the cast.
Well, and it was Sunday, and it was, like, the only thing, so nobody went that day.
But it was really enjoyable. I wore my Garfield high hat, so everyone pointed it out.
Oh, that's cool.
It was a useful...
That's awesome.
A useful tool for conversations, I guess.
Conversation starter.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, and they didn't give us shit for spoilers, which you can see when you watch the videos on our YouTube an accent TV.
They never tell you anything in those rooms, it feels like.
Right.
It's, yeah.
I feel like the cast will tell you more than producers will tell you. I feel like you can easily get the cast to spill something.
It depends on what the show is.
Right, it depends on the show.
Like, Marvel, you can't get anything. They're terrified. They're always like, wait, where's Jeff? And can, you know, like, can they tell us anything? Or, you know, are we allowed to say anything? Like, I think our videos from New York Comic Con last year for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it literally starts with, like, several moments of Elizabeth Henstridge and Ian DeCastegar being like, wait, are we allowed to say that? And she runs away to ask him.
Yeah.
You know?
They never say anything.
Yeah.
The other cast members will say something. Well, but the other cast members will say more than those two. Like, those two really will just...
go in circles in a little conversation that goes nowhere.
Which,
I mean, Fitzsimmons fans love.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know,
it works out.
It works.
It works out.
Yeah.
Because that shows off their banter, right? And that's what we love about them.
And they are fun. So, they are adorable.
Whereas I think that Chloe and Ming especially will say more. Yeah. If Ming knows what is happening, then she will say it by accident.
She loves when you ask her about Belinda.
Yes.
She likes to get flirty and, like, cute about it. It's fun.
Yes.
She's adorable. And who doesn't love me, Loba?
Right.
Right.
Who does not?
Yeah. The worst is Jeff Loeb. He will literally tell you absolutely nothing.
It's
pointless to even try. Most of the time, you're like, why are you here? You're not going to say anything.
Yeah. He didn't, like, for Cloak and Dagger, I was going to say, he didn't even answer. Because I was asking, like, oh, you talked about authenticity and, like, you know, wanting, and the racial story being about race.
Uh-huh.
I was like, so... how much diversity do you have behind the scenes outside? Like, I know you guys brought in Gina for the pilot, so how about after that? And then his response was literally just like, well, I just hope that we reach the day where we don't have to wonder about that because we just pick the most talented people. And I was like, so no one but Gina who left at the pilot. Thank you.
Yes. we didn't. And I'm trying to tuck around it because I'm a white man who doesn't have to worry about these things. And doesn't like when people call me out on it.
Yeah.
Ouch. Sorry.
And I was like, oh. All right. Okay, then.
That's
well,
upsetting.
That's all right. At least you got it in front of the scenes.
Speaking of Cloak and Dagger, I was in the panel. That was the one. I think that's the only panel I went to.
Oh, see, there you go.
No, I went to Bad Samaritan, too. That's right. Anyway, I did go to the Cloak and Dagger panel just in time, basically, to watch the episode, which I loved. And most importantly... my husband loves it.
As a Cloak and Dagger fan.
He has been collecting their comics since the very first issue and has every appearance in a comic that they've ever done. So not just Cloak and Dagger comics, but like if they were in Runaways.
Or X-Men.
Anything. Mm-hmm. He has all of them. And yes, they made major changes, but he loved the way they changed things.
Mm-hmm.
The only... problem I have, and I'm going to try and say this without spoiling anything, is that there's another show called Impulse, which takes place in the Jumper universe. Jumper is the movie with Hayden Christensen.
Mm-hmm. And Rachel Bilson, right?
Uh-huh. And it takes place in that same universe, so she has powers and she can jump. And what activates her power and what, like, kind of pushes Cloak to activate her power is the same
Dagger.
Thing. I just said Cloak and so Dagger. What activates Cloak's power? Or Dagger's power? I did it again. It's the same thing, and it's going to bring... I think there's going to be a lot of stories giving people shit. Because those two shows premiere in the same month, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to get shit.
So there'll be some think pieces on that.
The Mary Sue's going to write one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure other people, too. But I know the Mary Sue's going to write at least one.
Jezebel will write one.
I probably... yeah, so... that's the only problem, but I mean, it makes sense, but yeah, it's like, it's a trope, and
right.
That's, Someday we'll get away from that, too. But it works, because there's also what does activate cloaks power also is a trope and something that's being talked about. Both both are big.
But at least it's, like, in both instances, you can take it as, like, taking what is not a weakness, but, like, the bad thing that often happens to that kind of person and turning it into.
Yes. Exactly. They turned it into a moment of strength. Yes. So I do get it, but it's just, you know, the fact that it's two in the same month is where they're really going to get in trouble. I'm sure they didn't know that. So there's no way they could get around it. Anyways, but no, it was beautiful. And I mean, that's one of the things that, you know, everybody's kind of worried about, because Freeform, I like some of their stuff, but it can always be, you know, a bit iffy. But it just feels, I mean, it feels like it could be part of the Netflix series or anything. It's just, it's gorgeous, and it's done really, really well. I hope the rest of the series is just as good.
I really hope that they keep up that. Yeah. Because, like, I really love Gina Prince-Blythewood, like, as a director, and, like, I love all her stuff, and I just recently, like, I rewatched Love and Basketball this weekend, and I was like, oh, it's gonna be like Cloak and Dagger. But anyway, so hopefully they, you know, the team set it up well for everyone else.
Yeah.
To follow suit.
Let's hope so.
Yes.
What else did we do?
Yeah, what else? Well, we did
Krypton.
I did do the Krypton room. And I don't know if you guys have been watching Krypton.
One episode aired.
It's been two. Yeah, at that point it had been one. Yeah. But it's been two. But a lot of people, like, you know, had seen, like, the first four, I think, the first five.
Yeah.
For the press. I'm not a cool enough press to have seen those. I've only seen the ones that are. But I mean, it sounds like the cast all seem pretty, like, invested in their characters, you know, like, enjoying the story, so. So it's pretty good. I was...
Unfortunately, it seems to have the lowest Rotten Tomatoes score of any DC show.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I feel like the pilot was, like, a little bit slow, you know? I thought it looked really good, but it was kind of, like, action-wise, it wasn't like off to a running start, I guess. Yeah,
maybe.
But I don't know. I guess it might take a while to get, like, as invested in the characters. Maybe.
Are you really into it, or
no? I mean, like, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. You know, like, I'll watch it. I'll see what's going. But, like, if it stopped airing, I wouldn't. I'd be like, oh no, what happened?
Yeah, just check out. You'd probably forget.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I would just, like, whatever. Like, I'm most interested right now in House Zod, because I think they're really interesting, and Adam Strange, because Sean Psychos is very attractive, and very...
That always helps,
and I mean, very charismatic. He's very enjoyable to watch.
Well, there you go.
But, like, the whole Segel, like, you know, politics, or, like, who's gonna run Krypton, like, I don't really, you know, I don't really care who's gonna run Krypton. And then it's gonna explode in 200 years. Yeah. Although they did say they have been hammering home that maybe it won't, right? The timeline could change.
But except then, it's not.
Yeah. I mean, what? And then in this universe, like, Superman just takes a vacation to Earth, and then he's like, wait a second. I have powers here. I'll just stay.
I'll just hang out. That's cool.
Yeah.
I can fly.
I guess that would be a, you know, way to get around a lot.
Does it feel like, because, like, that's the problem, right? That in Krypton, they don't have powers, so it's.
They are pretty just, like, human. Like, it's, like, there's a black order, or, like, a, you know, like, the religion is different, obviously, and then you have, like, this weird, like, the many faces of Zod creature, and, like, this, like, one person is, like, the voice of Zod. It's, like, that's different.
Okay.
That's, you know, that's kind of weird. But, but otherwise, like, they look human. Mm-hmm. They don't have powers. It's just, like, it's, like, Sparta, I guess. Like, an alien Sparta. Is what it feels like.
Are they gonna... Eventually, they're gonna be like, shit, people want to see it. Don't want a Superman-related show without powers. They're gonna start sending them to other
planets.
This, and be one, like, this one has a yellow sun.
Apparently, like, they said, we're gonna see Earth... We are gonna see Earth this season. Okay. So, I mean, it's possible that maybe a Kryptonian does go to Earth with Adam Strange and then uses their powers there. It's possible. But... I suppose. Or we'll just see Adam Strange's backstory on Earth, you know? I don't know. But they did say we're not gonna see Superman, so it's not like he's gonna go... hang out with Clark.
Yeah.
We won't actually see the moment when Clark is like, please go visit my family and do whatever.
See if we can change things.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. We'll see. Although I the most interesting thing for me right now is just, like, listening or reading people's reactions to it, you know, because I'm not invested as much. So it's,
sometimes that helps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, I enjoy seeing
you can't be invested in everything.
Yeah.
Nobody can take that.
Yeah. That would be explosions.
It's kind of nice. It's both weird and nice not being as invested in a show. Like, I haven't been that invested in anything since Glee.
Right.
And so, I mean, that's years ago now. It's kind of nice, but I miss having a fandom.
Yeah. There's a balance. There's a balance to strike.
I mean, the closest I can get is NT, but I don't, like, participate in any kind of fandom. I talk about it with friends.
Strong feelings.
Yeah, I have very strong feelings.
Now, but, you also presumably have strong feelings about David Tennant. And you did get to go to the Bad Samaritan panel.
I did get to go to I went for most of the panel. I had to leave early to go to the press room. He wasn't there.
Oh, which, no.
Someday, maybe.
So he was doing the panel, but not the press room.
No, he wasn't there at the panel.
Oh, okay.
No, he
okay.
wasn't at the con. He's doing that Silicon Valley one, like, this weekend.
Oh, okay.
But he wasn't at WonderCon.
That Silicon Valley one is expensive.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
I have not looked at the prices.
I just remember, like,
I haven't even tried to do press or anything year, for it. I don't have time.
I just remember, because, like, for half a second, I was like, maybe I'll go to that one, because Grant Gustin and Tom Felton were going to be there. Yeah. And then it was, like, $500 for a photo op, and I was like, okay, Grant, I'm sorry.
So it's, like, half, it's, like, one of those where it's more about the photo ops.
Stuff. Right.
Maybe that's why David Tennant's going, because he does those.
Yeah.
Which, you know, nothing against people who do those. There's a part of me who wants to do some at some point to get pictures, because that's probably the only way I'm ever going to get a picture with, like, Chris Evans and Sebastian Stan. But I don't have that kind of money right now.
Like,
at least
not
right now.
I'm not going to burn that on a photo that...
Maybe someday, but right now, I don't have that kind of money lying around, so it's not going to happen. It has to be the right moment.
Yeah.
Anyway. No, those ones hurt. You look at those and it's like, wow, how I wish I had money to burn. I mean, then again, I go to, you know, when I have money, I usually am going to, like, concerts and shit all the time anyway. So I burn my money on other stuff. I collect hot toys. There you go. I don't get pictures with the person. I get a little miniature version of them, which is photorealistic and
it lasts
creepy.
Longer.
There you go. Maybe I can do some kind of forced perspective.
There you go.
Make it look like. Might as well just Photoshop it. Anyway. But yeah, I did the Bad Samaritan press room. But unfortunately, neither David or Robert Sheehan, who plays the lead, neither of them were
there.
That's
Misfits dude?
Yeah.
Interesting. Tell me about this. What is Bad Samaritan?
Okay, so it's a horror film.
Okay.
It's a suspense thriller. Which basically... Robert Sheehan plays, not the greatest person.
Okay.
He is a valet who then goes back to the people's houses and burgles them while they're at the restaurant.
Oh, no!
And he goes to the wrong house. David Tennant's house.
Uh-oh.
When he's there, he finds a woman strapped to a chair. And he ends up leaving. And...
That's rude.
Because... He's running out of time, and it's the worst decision he's ever made. And he spends the rest of the movie trying to make up for it.
Uh-oh.
And trying to make things right. And David Tennant is a very, very bad person.
Clearly.
So,
I can't believe he didn't save the girl that was strapped with Cher. Jeez.
So he spends the rest of the movie trying to. And, but nobody believes him. Like, he goes to the cops and things like that. It's really good. I have a hard time with horror and suspense a lot of the time. Like, I'm the person who literally sits with I actually usually put a hoodie on backwards so I can put the hood in my face at times. There were a couple times where I did, like, they telegraphed that something's about to happen or something might be about to happen. And so I did close my eyes a couple times. But otherwise, it was suspenseful without being too overwhelming.
Okay.
So, and I really liked it.
Interesting.
I would watch it again. But yeah, they're actually doing a press day at the end of the month, so hopefully, and they will, David Tennant and Robert Sheehan will both be there.
Fingers crossed.
So fingers crossed. Yeah. And Dean Devlin again, which I did speak to him, but it was a really big round table. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there was like 20 of us at this round table.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, those videos aren't up yet, but they hopefully will be soon. So yeah, I'm hoping to get, you know, a more personalized experience.
That's magic.
It comes out on May 4th.
May 4th.
Because it was supposed to come out on April 27th. And then Infinity War moved.
So then I'm like, no, thanks.
I don't know why they didn't move a week before,
right,
to be honest, because it's done. they're showing it. Yeah. So, I honestly think it probably would have been better off
probably
if they had moved a week earlier.
Yeah.
But, you know.
What are you going to do?
There's not, there's only so much. But people should go see it because Dean Devlin's company completely funded it and is really, they're basing a lot on it. It's privately done.
Oh, wow.
Which means no studio interference. Legion M is helping market it, but it's really Dean Devlin and Electric Entertainment's, like, film.
Interesting.
So, and I, like I said, I thought it was really good.
Okay.
David Tennant is really good at playing a really creepy guy.
Yeah.
And it's really weird. Like, why are you so good at that?
That's not right.
It is. You want to ask him, like, why are you so good at being creepy when everybody says you're, like, the nicest person they've ever worked with?
That'll be your first question.
Right? There you go. You,
I was going to say, like, what's I'm really bad with horror, too. Yeah. Like, I didn't even want to watch Siren because everyone was saying, like, oh, it's really dark. Like, it's super dark for Freeform. And I was like, oh, God, I'm going to die. And then I watched it and it was not. They lied to me.
You're like, it's not. It's a little dark, but it's not.
It's not nearly as dark as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, no, this wasn't that bad. I mean, when I grew up, my best friend loved watching horror films. And I would just watch them with her to spend time with her.
Oh, okay.
And I feel like I've developed a complex. Because, like, I literally used to, like, one of the movies we watched was Dolls. And I literally used to, like, put my dolls to bed at night and be like, please don't kill me. Like, like, it screwed me up completely, right?
Oh, no.
And that's why I have a really hard time watching horror now. But, I really, like I said, it's more suspense thriller. It's, like, not really horror.
Okay.
It's not Freddy Krueger or anything like that.
That's nice.
But it's, you know, it's more psychological because obviously it's about the things people are capable of.
Yeah.
And that's kind of crazy.
And yeah. Psychological horror
can actually be worse.
Yeah. Can be pretty horrifying.
Yes.
Ha ha ha.
Yes. Yes.
So you were also, you went to the Siren press room.
I went to the Siren press room.
I have watched the first episode of the Siren. I did not see your interview.
How was they that? Only went up, they, it was good. I unfortunately hadn't watched them. I didn't have time. You
failed the city.
I know, I still haven't watched them. But our writer, Kelly, who's doing the show for us, sent me some questions, and I had a couple other people. It was really good. We didn't get a lot of time with him anyway. But, yeah, no, I that's the second time I've interviewed most of the cast. And
that's right, you did it at New York Comic Con.
Yeah, and it sounds really interesting. I like their approach to it, that they're kind of bringing in so many, like, the amount of research they've done is amazing, that they're trying to bring in so much of all kinds of different stories. And, they sound really fucking creepy.
Yeah, it's definitely a more interesting take on mermaid sirens than you usually see, so.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I'd like to watch it, but, again, it's hard to have so much time.
I also really liked, like, I mean, I don't think he was even, I feel like he's probably not an important part of the cast. He probably was not at either con, but Gil Birmingham from Twilight, Billy Black from Twilight.
I didn't watch Twilight, so I don't actually know.
And okay, but he's like one of the few Native American actors.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so when I saw him in the premiere, well, he was in, because he plays Maddie. I can't remember the actress's name, Bola something, but it's one of the main actresses, the girlfriend of the main dude.
Okay.
But she's not a mermaid. She's a human.
Yes.
A human girlfriend. Anyway, so he plays her dad. And I liked that they incorporated that he is Native American. And they even had her character talk about it. Like, she had, like, a tattoo or something. And she talked about, like, what it means for the tribe. And I was like, that's really cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah,
it has really, like, good representation. Like, it's a good mix of the cast.
Yeah.
So that's helpful.
Yeah.
And Aline Powell?
That's yes.
Her name? Yeah, Aline the Powell. Lead.
Looks
seriously,
like
she looked, yeah, she's got a great look for it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I was like, whoa. I found out she was 28 years old, and I was like, that's impossible. She looks 12. I can't believe this. She looks like the newborn child of an alien who is like, how do I assimilate into Earth? Like, what looks human? And then they popped her out. But yes. She did a great job playing the creepy mermaid girl. Creepy cannibal mermaid. So.
Yeah. The only other room I did, I think, was The 100.
Oh, okay. Did you learn something juicy there?
Well, that
did you ask about Braven, like I told you to ask about Braven?
No, I did
How
not.
How dare you? You failed
that
the city
That
again.
Was the trying to provoke people, yeah, I was like, no, I'm not gonna do that. I actually asked Tiffany, and she's like, don't ask that question. I'm like, I won't do it, don't worry.
I can't believe Tiffany is sabotaging me.
Yeah, no, that room was funny because, okay, so, Liza Clark, who plays, or no, Clark is the character.
Clark,
name.
Yeah. Eliza.
What the fuck is her name?
Taylor. Eliza Taylor.
There you go. Anyway, she didn't. She got strep throat.
Okay.
So she didn't make it to the con at all. The cast that were there, and Jason Rothenberg, the creator,
right,
were late. And then half the cast who did the panel weren't actually in the press room because they were all so late and stuck in so much traffic from LA that they didn't make it to the press room in time.
Wow.
So we only, I think, did 4 interviews.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But I think there were like 7 or 8 casts and crew on the, yeah, but there was just, they were, all the ladies were late. All the ladies were late.
Oh, no.
I feel like because it's so close to LA, WonderCon people forget that. Yeah, but there's still traffic, especially when you've got everybody going down to WonderCon. You need to leave extra time. Right. At least with San Diego, they all assume they all have to get hotels, so they're usually there the night before. I mean, although you do still have people who don't show up until the day like of, and then they're late. So it does. It happens.
Did you learn anything juicy then?
Did I learn anything juicy? Not really. This season, I don't watch the show.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest.
Everyone's
saying
that the season's amazing.
It sounds really interesting because they've got some prison shit that's coming. So there's a lot more people to deal with that. Mm. It's a 6-year jump, a time jump.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's
yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And apparently it's incredibly bloody, which was hilarious because the one actor, and I can't remember his name, is Christian?
Christopher. Okay. Larkin?
Yes.
Okay.
I asked him 3 words to describe the season, and he said, I think it was utopia, peaceful, and non-confrontational, and I was like,
that sounds exactly ironic.
The opposite of everything Jason Roth, like, I think the utopia, I think this is, like, what they want, but that's not actually what they get,
because
as far as it sounds like, it's, like, the season ends on, in, like, blood and bodies everywhere. So, I was like,
okay, sure. Guess.
Yeah. But that was funny.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I think that's everything we did, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much.
I didn't get any other panels. I wanted to. Yeah. I got a Ready Player One poster signed, but then I haven't even seen the movie.
I got a really nice Flash cardigan that I was really happy
with. Well, there you go. That's awesome. I didn't buy anything, which is weird because we usually. But we did a floor super fast and just didn't find anything.
I bought a bunch of random and, like, strange Batman pops for my friend. My friend Amber, like, loves Batman pops. Yeah. So.
What? Oh, I got a pair of earrings.
That's right.
I did buy a pair of earrings that were, one is the Winter Soldier and one is Captain America's Shield.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's really cute.
So, there you go. I had my end of the line earrings.
And together they will, they will put on that shield and.
Oh.
Yeah.
But he's not going to have that arm anymore. So I was like, it's actually, you know, I've been thinking about getting that tattoo with like half and half. And I'm like, but do I do it when like he's not going to have that arm anymore? But then
memories.
Cap's going to die. So.
Memories. What used to be. Aww. Let it out.
So yeah, all those interviews are up on, well, or they are either up or they will be soon on our With an Accent TV, which is our YouTube, or withanaccent.com. There's links to the interviews with write ups as well. But yeah, so news. So many things. So many things.
Many things. Yes.
So the X-Men movies have been pushed back again.
Yes. For reshoots that will take a year.
And let's understand this logic, guys. They supposedly already have the films filmed. They just need to do reshoots. But it's going to take a year. Captain Marvel is filming right now and just started. Mm-hmm. So much so that they only just announced some casting. And it comes out in less than a year. So, apparently for Dark Phoenix, they're claiming it's because so many of the cast are so popular, they're having a hard time getting them all together. Which still, but how many reshoots are you going to have to do? People do reshoots all the time where it's like one person or, you know, you do just the single camera and then you can do a lot of it without everybody being there. So.
And for both of them.
And New Mutants has been pushed back as well. Like, it's like, this is not good.
That sounds fictional.
And especially when you look at when, so New Mutants comes out in February now.
Okay.
And Dark Phoenix, I don't even remember when it is. I think it's a summer. Next summer now.
2019 summer?
Yes.
All right.
Which would, if the Disney-Fox merger is approved and goes through, it isn't stopped by the FCC or anything, then there is no way these movies are ever going to come out. Right. Because Disney is going to say no. And you have to wonder if this is them saying, okay, but we're buying you. And if this happens, we don't want these movies out. And so they're already, the powers that be at Fox are trying to placate them because they want to keep their jobs.
I mean, that's very possible.
It's entirely possible.
Yeah.
I just can't believe you would have to, both movies. Maybe Dark Phoenix, I can understand it, but New Mutants was already pushed back once.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's being pushed back again. Those casts aren't that popular.
Right.
Most of them, I mean, like, the one guy's in Stranger Things, and then we have Maisie Williams. Like, that's, and I don't think I've heard any of the others are really
I didn't even
popular.
Realize Maisie Williams was in New Mutants.
Yeah,
that's
she's
funny.
The, I know, it's weird, right?
Because Sophie's, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't think we're ever going to see them.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't think they're ever going to happen. And instead, Fox have The Darkest Minds?
The Darkest Minds, yes.
Which is, if you haven't seen it, go watch the trailer. It is basically New Mutants meets, it is the X-Men.
Yeah.
It's not officially an X-Men movie, but it looks like an X-Men movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like a much better X-Men movie than any of the ones we've gotten for years now.
Or at least it's like a cinematic version of, like, The Gifted. It's like, oh, our children are being taken away to...
Like, it literally could be a follow-up to Logan.
Yeah.
It could be what happens to those kids afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
It, yeah.
Interesting.
It looks a lot more... It is a Fox movie,
It is right?
Fox. So. Yeah. And it comes out this summer. And no, I've
never
heard
of it
before.
They probably saw that cut and they're like, this is, like, better than the X-Men movies we've got. We gotta
maybe
put
we
that
should
out
just
first.
Put that out first and then maybe we just bury the rest of the thing. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It's just like they've been rushing. You know, Noah Hawley was talking about his Doctor Doom movie again and how it's going to be a political thriller. And I'm like, your movie's never getting made. There's just no way. Unless the Disney-Fox merger doesn't happen.
Right.
In which case, Fox are probably going to sell the Comcast. In which case, Marvel gets the rights back to the MCU. The X-Men characters anyway.
Mm.
Because that's part of their deal. Is that if Fox is sold... all Marvel rights revert back to Marvel.
Oh, wow.
They do not... So, Comcast...
So, either way, Marvel's gonna get them.
So, yeah, unless Fox don't sell, which they've been trying to for so long, it's going to go through, probably.
Yeah.
Somebody's buying it.
Right.
So Marvel are gonna get those characters back. So, yeah, they keep trying to rush all these movies out, and it's they're never gonna happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's worse than DC telling me movies are gonna happen. Which, just an aside, Matt said this earlier, and I thought this was really funny.
Uh-huh.
DC should have, announced a bunch of titles today, and then see what people think,
and then
just
April
been like,
Fools
April
are the
Fools
ones that they don't
the ones they don't like.
That's so funny.
They totally should have done that. Come on, DC, you should
I
be on top
like,
of these things.
I feel like they do that anyway. Like, I feel like every week they're like, we're doing this!
No, we're not. But it would have been a good excuse, and you should have, played it, DC, poor... Someday you'll make another decent... Well, yeah. Okay, Wonder Woman's a decent movie. Justice League's an okay movie. Yeah.
Justice League just...
I'm not excited for Aquaman. I know you are, but I'm not excited
I'm not, like,
for it.
Excited so much as I'm like, I trust that it'll be fine. You know?
Fine.
Yeah. I don't think... I'm not concerned about Aquaman.
Yeah.
But I'm not like, I can't wait for Aquaman.
Yeah.
It's like, eh. You know? And now the whole thing with the trailer, where James Wan was like, oh, the trailer's not ready for whatever reason. I was like, okay.
He says it's because of him.
I was like,
give us what the hell's wrong with you? Give us a fucking trailer. or are you afraid of the movie?
Right, exactly.
Because that's, the longer you wait, I mean, not that there haven't been movies where you get the trailers late. It does, and they're good.
Mm-hmm.
It does happen.
Mm-hmm.
But usually it's bad time. But I mean, it doesn't come out until December. So
right.
It's not like it's really.
There's still time.
That's 8 months away?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not like. We're not at a point where I'd be worried yet.
Right. He said the effects aren't ready yet or something. Like, he's still working on the effects. I'm like, all right, well, that's fine.
Yeah.
But it's just weird whenever a date is set or people are, they obviously were expecting to have it out and then they didn't. Because they could have just been like, we were never going to.
Yeah.
I don't know why you just thought that was the case.
Yeah.
You know? But anyway.
There was no movie trailer coming out. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're never here. Other things that are coming out.
This weekend, it would be this weekend by the time we release this, April 8th, I had to flip it. I almost said August. I was like, what month is this? This is not August, the other A.
Trying to speed through 2018.
Yeah, kind of. April 8th, Howard's End, which already aired on the BBC, will be airing on Stars. It stars Hayley Atwell and Matthew McFadyen. It looks really, really good. I have not watched it yet, which I always watch it usually when things are on the BBC, but we've just been that behind. And I think it came out in November on the BBC.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's back. Really far back. I mean, they were at the TCAs for it last summer.
That's right. I remember now.
Yeah.
Howard's End.
It looks really good, though. Uh-huh. I've never seen the movie or read the book, which is funny.
I don't even know what it's about.
It's period drama, Victorian.
Okay.
What do I know about it? Basically, she has an inheritance coming to her.
Okay.
And he kind of I'm going to get this wrong, probably. So don't be surprised if I have it wrong. It sounds like he basically is kind of trying to just get to her for her money, but then I think they actually fall in love.
How dare
I think?
All right. Interesting.
Her sister's in, like, another main character. It's a very a strong female story.
Okay. I like strong females.
Yeah. Yeah. And Tracy Ullman's in it, which I'm just like, I love Tracy Ullman.
Oh.
I watched the Tracy Ullman show when I was a kid. That was when I saw The Simpsons for the first time.
Yeah.
They were actually on the Tracy Ullman show. But I'm dating myself here.
So it's like a mini series? It's not like
Yeah,
a...
I think it's 8 episodes.
Okay.
So,
yeah. I
see. And it starts April 8th. On Stars. It looks really, really good.
Oh, it's an E.M. Forster novel. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I know
that
the
original
dude.
Movie starred Anthony Hopkins and Emma Thompson.
Okay. Oh, Emma Thompson.
I think it won, like, a bunch of...
Interesting. The series is adapted by Kenneth Lonergan. That's very interesting.
So it could be good or bad. Right? I'm kidding.
No,
he's a good writer.
Yeah, he's a good writer.
His relationship with certain people is... Yeah, but he's not in this movie, so whatever.
No,
yeah. yeah, or in the show.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's supposed to be really good.
Okay.
Also, same day, BBC America, brand new series, Killing Eve, which looks really interesting, and it's about a serial killer, and the cop who is trying to find her, played by Sandra Oh.
Yeah, so if you missed Christine on Grey's Anatomy,
you
can check out Sandra.
It looks really, really good.
Yeah,
it looks
interesting.
Very messed up, but, you know, in a good way.
And I remember... Jodie Comer. She's Chloe from My Mad Fat Diary. So if you watched My Mad Fat Diary and you enjoyed hating Chloe, you'll probably love hating her as an assassin.
It looks like she's really charismatic and likable in this, too, even though she's the serial killer.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
It looks really interesting.
She just seemed to have a lot of fun throwing the ice cream on that poor little girl.
In the trailer.
In the trailer, yes. It is. It looks interesting. Like, it looks like it'll be, like, a fun, like, sort of battle of, you know, wits or battle of...
I have a hard time understanding how long it could go on, though. Because, obviously, you can see in the trailer... Yeah, you can see in the trailer that they meet each other in this... So,
yeah.
I mean...
Maybe they, like, join forces at some point? Or, like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, because it's like, why wouldn't she just kill the cop? But, she...
It'll be like Hannibal,
like,
right? It'll be
that.
Like...
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. It'll be like, no, I like you.
Yeah, so I'm gonna keep you, and we'll have fun.
Yeah.
And then people will start to ship them, and it'll be weird.
Right.
Probably.
As one does. As one does.
Because, right, in Hannibal, everybody ships
it, everyone
right?
shipped it in Hannibal. Yeah.
Which is creepy.
And I feel like they sort of made it, like, not canon, but a nod to it by the end, I believe.
Watch.
I didn't watch
it
either. I stopped after. I actually stopped after they killed Beverly Katz. I think that was the very beginning of season 2, because she was my favorite character. And then they killed her, and I was like, oh, I'm bored.
yeah, there's a lot of shows that I'm like, and you just took away my main reason for watching the show, I can't do this anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
That sucks.
It's alright, I forgive them.
But yeah.
I wish them the best.
Yeah.
In the afterlife, because they were canceled.
Yeah, well, Bryan Fuller's always talking about, like, it coming back somehow,
or something. Yeah, exactly.
People are still writing fanfic about it. I see it pop up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So
it had a quite passionate fan base.
Yeah, two white guys with big ships. That's always what they like.
That's
right?
That is what brings out, you know, the real passion in people.
I mean, I had when Ella Enchanted came out, I had the hugest crush on Hugh Dancy.
Oh, really?
Which
I thought you
were
gonna say like
funny.
You shipped him with some other dude.
No, no.
You're like fuck huge. Ella. It should be him and his uncle. Anyway.
That was a terrible, terrible movie, but I loved it.
I loved the book.
The book is so much better.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I was like, I was mad at the movie, because I was like, this is wrong. Like, you didn't get the science of her curse right.
I saw the movie before I read the book.
Oh, okay.
So that makes it easy. And then I fell in love with Hugh Dancy.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
He's great. He was great.
He was adorable.
And I do love Anne Hathaway. I didn't make that up.
Okay. I love Anne Hathaway. She's amazing at everything she does.
Yes.
Yes. She's a great person.
Anyway. But yeah, so those, anyway, going back to Killing Eve and
right.
Howard's End, both
April 8th.
And one is Stars. And I will be watching both.
And one is BBC America.
Howard's End is Stars, Killing Eve is BBC America. I will be watching both, so I'll probably report back on what I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could even write a review.
I could even write a review and put it on withanaccent.com. I am a terrible reviewer. I mean, listen to me talk. Make me
you can just be like a bullet point. Things I liked. Bullet points.
Probably what I really should do, because I sit here and talk about things and it's not coherent when I talk about it. Can you imagine me trying to write it? That's the problem. I'm really good at writing up interviews.
There you go.
That's what I'll stick to. Anyway. Also, this past week, you haven't had a chance to see it yet, but I did watch Scooby Natural.
Mm.
The Scooby-Doo/Supernatural episode, which was, according to Matt, the best hour of television ever produced.
Yes, the single greatest hour of television ever produced.
Which I think is a bit strong, but it was really, really good.
Yeah.
It was very, very silly. And it's exactly what you expect and what you want from both shows.
Right.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Dean, I think, is the best part because he's just embracing the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, yes, I'm in Scooby-Doo. Let's go batch it. And he just, you know, he's like, there's one part where he's next to Shaggy and they're stuffing their mouths full of a sandwich.
Yeah.
And he's like, look, Sam, look at my mouth on the sandwich. And he's got the mouth full of the sandwich and he's saying,
oh my God.
It's super, super silly. And then, yeah, Sam spends the whole episode pointing out how wrong everything is and how nothing makes sense. But it's like, it's a cartoon. It's fine. Just leave it.
Let it be.
And then Cass is just a straight guy who ends up, his story is mostly with Shaggy and Scooby, which is great because it's like the most ridiculous part of it. And that's what you put Cass into. it was really, really silly and it's fantastic. And I wish they would do it again, but it wouldn't be as great.
Right. Probably, because the novelty would be,
the novelty is what's, yeah.
Yeah. But like they really like went all out for it. Like obviously, according to everyone, it was amazing.
Yeah.
But also, like, the social media part was super high. Like, it was, like, the number one and number two, like, show social media speak-wise. And it had, like, 2 million or something, like, responses or whatever. Yeah. I was like, whoa.
That's awesome.
And it went up, like, the ratings, you know, CW, like, oh, 0.7, wow. But it went up from their last episode was 0.5. So it did, you know.
Yeah, that's a huge show for them.
It's a huge show.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, it was so much fun. And they, I mean, apparently they, like, recorded it over a year ago, the audio, and then it takes them that long to produce the episode.
Right.
So, but yeah.
Wow.
It sounds like it was so much fun. I was actually really surprised when Matt actually did delete it, because I was figuring it was going to sit on our box for as long as humanly possible, but he did delete it, and he's not, he probably downloaded it already, and that's why. He's, like, sitting here, and I'm like, I bet you downloaded it.
I need to watch it.
He loves Mr. Ink.
Oh, okay.
Is it the most recent one? Yeah. It's the most recent one that was produced, and it's on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
He keeps trying to get me to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
So, he has all the Scooby-Doo Lego. Other news, our last news story that I can think of that we're going to talk about.
All right.
Westworld trailer.
Oh, yep.
So good.
Mm-hmm.
So good. This does somewhat make up for the fact that we're not getting Game of Thrones for a year.
Right.
Right? The fact that Westworld is so good. And it's, what, 10 episodes, I guess?
I think it's 10 episodes, yeah.
It'll get us through when? Like,
it starts, what, end of April?
It'll get through the beginning of July.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. And then there'll be Comic-Con stuff, so.
And then there'll be Comic-Con and it'll be Insanity.
But yeah, so it's like chaos.
Yeah,
and everything's gone. Like order, and now it's.
Yeah,
now it's
everything's gone crazy. What I really like is, I'd forgotten, I mean, I've watched it through at least twice.
Mm-hmm.
I'd forgotten that, yeah, the humans don't know that Bernard is not human.
Right.
So yeah, he's with them all the time. Except that there is a shot where you see, and I can't remember her character's name, but Tessa Thompson.
Yes.
Surrounded by Bernard. So she obviously figures it out.
Yeah.
But does she survive it to tell people?
Bye, Tessa
because,
Thompson.
Because, I don't think it was in this trailer, but there's a hidden trailer, which apparently there's also a second hidden trailer in the hidden trailer.
What?
I've only seen the first hidden trailer.
Okay.
First hidden trailer, which is on the Delos website, mm-hmm. and it's like an ad, but then it starts shorting out, okay. and there's like shots from the trailer, but that there's also new shots.
Oh, okay.
And one of them is a very dead-eyed looking Bernard shooting a gun. So it's probably not actually Bernard.
Right.
Like, it's just one of his copies.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently there's a bunch of them. Made
all
to...
those Bernards in waiting.
And it's, yeah, and it's, are those the original ones that were created before he perfected this one? Or are these extra ones
right.
just in case that body is...
Yeah.
Who knows? Because the one thing... I found it interesting because after... So it's Heart-Shaped Box mm-hmm. by Nirvana is the song that
right.
is playing. They sent out... WBTV sent out a press release for the song.
Mm-hmm.
In the press release, they say the season one cast, and they list everybody, and then they say, and season two will add these characters. And I was like, oh, that's an interesting way of not addressing whether or not who's going
right.
to be in both seasons. Because Anthony Hopkins is the big one. Is he in season two?
Right.
I'm going to guess that's a yes.
Yeah.
Because... I honestly do think Ford somehow
survives.
Either that was
a copy,
a host,
yeah,
or he made it, like that was the real him, but he'd already uploaded his consciousness to be put into another host.
Yeah,
so I have no idea. So I'm guessing he shows. I mean, Jimmy Simpson's in it, and Ben Barnes is in it, but you can barely tell. But that is definitely Ben Barnes.
Mm-hmm.
The shot with the Native American.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then the naked guy. That's the last time we saw him. Naked guy, like, out on a horse.
Uh-huh.
So, obviously, the Native American character found him. But there's also the shot in the trailer that was put on, was released everywhere. There's a shot of, like, a pool, and there's a guy standing in the distance, mm-hmm. and then another one walking closer. The one walking towards us is the CEO of Delos.
Oh, okay.
Who everybody assumes is his dad, because that's also Ben Barnes standing back there.
Right.
You can barely tell it's him, but it is him. So we're all...
Everywhere.
I know, right?
Mm.
So we're getting lots of flashbacks still.
Yeah.
Which I think is interesting, because that... The part where...
It's Arnold!
The first shot when I think you think it's Bernard, but I think it's actually Arnold.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's actually
Arnold.
So talking to Dolores at the beginning.
Oh.
Yeah, the part about the dream.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
that's actually Arnold.
Oh, okay.
So we're dealing with at least three timelines now.
Yeah.
Crazy. Because we are acknowledging that we're dealing with Arnold.
Right. Versus
so
Bernard.
All the way in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Plus
Jimmy Simpson.
Ben Barnes and...
Ben Barnes
yeah.
time period. And then now. When everything's going to shit.
Yeah.
And what's weird is, like, all those shots where they're in the city, is this another world? Or have they gotten out?
Right. That's true.
No idea.
What's real and what's not? We
yeah.
don't know. We have no idea.
And that's why Westworld is great. Let's just hope they can keep up the quality.
The quality, exactly.
Because that's always the worry with a show like this.
Mm-hmm.
It could so easily tank.
Yeah.
But it looks good.
Mm-hmm.
Promising.
So at least the trailer people know what they're doing.
Yeah, there you go. At least the trailer people.
Someone somewhere knows what's going on.
Yeah. Anyway, I think it's time to move on to the MCU
to
because
actual,
we're already
yep,
so late.
Yep.
Okay, so we started this week with Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yes, we
which
did.
Which she had never seen
well,
all
I,
the way through.
Yeah, I never actually stayed awake and watched the whole thing. So that was an experience. It was definitely less painful than I remember it being, so...
Is it just the Natasha?
No,
Bruce
it's not just
that.
I just feel like it.
Or?
I feel like it literally, like, once Ultron stops being like the disembodied horror show and then is like, let me be a robot now, I'm like, okay, now
it's
you're boring.
It's not as interesting.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not that excited by this.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's just like them fighting a sea of robots, like Iron Man 3, right? It's just like that again.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, all right, I don't really care. And then, like, I felt like Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver were introduced very strangely. Like, I don't know. I don't really care about them. And
yeah.
their weird incestuous relationship.
It is weird and kind of incestuous, especially because you can see, like, they literally went from Godzilla, where they played husband and wife, to this, where they play brother and sister.
Mm-hmm.
They're also supposed to be teenagers.
And
I'm sorry,
teenagers.
They don't look like teenagers.
And their accents
at all.
Are fake.
At least from a fake At least by making it a fake country, you just basically make them sound vaguely Eastern European. Right. And
we're like, this is what it sounds like.
You're supposed to just accept it.
Alright. Segovians sound like this. It's a country,
it's fine. Who cares that Vimo then sounds German and is supposed to come from the same country?
Oh.
We're just gonna ignore that.
See, I didn't even think of that. Yeah. But yeah. So I thought that the first half of the movie, maybe? I feel like up through Hawkeye's house. To make it to Hawkeye's house, like that, I'm like, I'm invested. This is going really well. And then after that, I'm like, all right, you've lost me. I don't know what's happening anymore.
And I think that's where Joss Whedon had so many problems because, you know, he basically left Marvel after this movie. Mm-hmm. And the story is that Kevin Feige went to Bob Iger and basically threatened to leave Marvel if if Marvel Studios wasn't taken out from under Mike Perlmutter, who was the head of Marvel. Obviously, Iger was not going to lose Kevin Feige, who is the leader of this cash cow. Mm-hmm. So, yes, Marvel Studios is separate, which is part of the reason so many people complain that Marvel's, like, TV isn't the same, because Marvel TV is still under Perlmutter.
Right.
So they obviously don't have a very good working relationship. But I think that's part of it. He fought really, really hard to keep the Hawkeye stuff, which apparently Perlmutter and the other powers of BMR wanted to take away.
Mm. And I like the Hawkeye stuff.
I think it's great. Yeah. Although, I never thought of this before, but I did this time, especially, they kept harping on about the girlfriend. Oh, he doesn't have a girlfriend. Oh, that's my girlfriend.
Yeah.
Or whatever. The little weird teases. And I like his family, but I honestly, because you need some kind of representation.
Oh, yeah, you could imagine.
That really would have been the point where it's like, yeah, they're all assuming it's a girlfriend, but it's really a boyfriend.
Yeah, that would have been
or a partner. Mm-hmm. That, I mean, they could have still had a family.
Yeah, exactly.
There would have been no baby, but, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could have been an adopted baby.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I like Linda Cardellini, and the kids are adorable, but it was a missed opportunity. Mm-hmm. Because at some point, we need to acknowledge that.
Yeah.
And, like, although, personally, I do think it would be a really good fuck you to the homophobes of the world if Captain America was bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not saying I want him to be with Bucky because I don't actually want that. But I think that would be a really good fuck you to the people who are the epitome of.
Could you imagine? Yeah, if American Captain America masculinity, was bisexual. Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
That would be. They would lose their minds.
Yes, great. They would, and it would be awesome. Yeah. They're never going to do that, unfortunately. Probably
sad.
Not.
Sad, but unless true.
We randomly get something in the next movie, which is never gonna happen.
Aside from the Hawkeye family stuff, which I did like, I thought that Captain America had, like, a lot of the best moments and the best lines.
He really did.
Like, all the stuff, like, fighting stuff that they did with the shield.
Yes.
Like, Thor banging the hammer off of the shield, and, like,
when they line up, and it's oh, they're excited.
and Natasha, like, throwing it. Whatever. I like all that stuff. But, you already know I don't like the Natasha and Bruce stuff. I just feel like it comes out of nowhere, and
it does come out of nowhere. I remember when I saw it being like, huh, okay, didn't expect that. Mm. I mean, it's because everybody really expected it to be Natasha and Hawkeye.
Right.
And, I mean, even so much so that in Winter Soldier, she's wearing the little arrow necklace, and Scarlett Johansson put that in
because
it's supposed to be a Hawkeye thing.
Yeah.
But I don't have a problem. Like, I actually kind of like that they care that much about each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they're that important to each other, but it's not sexual at all. So I don't mind that. I don't really care. I don't care enough to not like it.
Right.
I don't care enough to want it.
Right.
I am glad that they're going to at least address it and not just drop it in the next movie, because
they already brought it up in Ragnarok again, so, like...
Yes. Obviously, they've got to do something with it, but I think they're just basically going to say they missed the moment, and that's it. Like, they already kind of said that in this movie anyway.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting that... And I wonder if they will deal with the fact that she is the one who pushed him into becoming the Hulk, and then he didn't become Bruce Banner again for 2 years.
Yeah.
So, I'd actually really like to see them deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they will.
I would like to see that, too.
I don't know. It doesn't bother me as much. Especially, I think part of it is, there was so much of the hype over the people misinterpreting the monster comment.
Right.
That I felt like I got defensive for Joss and the story he was trying to tell. Like, mm-hmm. I understood why people took it the wrong way, but they seriously took it completely the wrong way. Because it wasn't,
she was saying she's a monster because of the stuff that she did.
Yes.
And that they sterilized her so that she could do that stuff more easily.
And that she let them.
Yeah. I just thought it was kind of a dumb, like, I was like, this is not really a good comparison, because, like, what it made me want to do... It was like, I wish that I could know how you got from that to now working for the Avengers. Like, that's crazy. I don't know how we got here.
Yeah.
But she obviously is in full control of herself, and she works for the Avengers, and that's what she wants to do. Whereas Banner can't stop himself from hurting even people that he cares about, because he has no control over his powers.
Yeah.
So, like, I was like, this is apples and, not even apples and oranges, because, so they're both fruit. But,
yeah. I think, maybe it's supposed to be that he represents something that she thinks she wants.
Right.
Because she talks about running away with him, that she doesn't want the same anymore, but at the same time, she's the one who's like, I adore you, but I need the other guy.
When he does actually agree to run away, that's when she's like, nope, just kidding.
Yeah, we gotta go save people.
Yeah.
And she forces him to become the Hulk. So, I see the story that's, I think there's a better way you could have done
it. Right, it's like lost in translation a little bit.
But it doesn't bother me as much as it does a lot of people.
Yeah, it doesn't, like, it's not, like, offensive to me the way that it is for a lot of people. Like, this is everything that's wrong with, you know, Natasha's character and whatever. Like, I just didn't like it. Like, I was
And then a lot of people were upset because she's the one who gets kidnapped, and it's like, okay, what part of she got pregnant and they had to work around that didn't you understand? Like, I'm sorry. I wouldn't have been surprised if it was maybe originally the other way around and she had to, like, rescue Bruce or something. You know, like something. I don't know. But if your actress gets pregnant, you gotta work her with that.
Yeah.
And he comes and gets her out of the cell, but they only know where she is because she figured out a way to get a message to them.
Yeah, I didn't know.
So it's not like
that.
She just sat there and did nothing.
And it's not like, exactly, it's not like we haven't seen her do a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So she's not a damsel in distress, if you will.
Yeah.
Which is, that's whatever. Thor didn't make sense, but who cares?
That's the story that got sacrificed to keep Hawkeye,
right.
And that's unfortunate. Although, it's funny, because it makes even less sense now.
Uh-huh.
And that's the only problem I have with Ragnarok. I love the way Ragnarok reinvented Thor, because I could care less about Thor beforehand, but now I actually care, and I'm actually kind of sad if we don't get more.
Yeah.
So I think that part is great, but I think the hard thing is, the first, like, 20 minutes of Thor just feel like, okay, we have to pay service to these things that happened before, but we don't actually care.
Yeah.
And if you really, especially watching them all this close together, it doesn't make sense.
Right.
There's so much that was just like, yeah, we wanted to rewrite this, and now we have to change what because we didn't like what we did with it. Did you catch the Wolfram and the Heart thing, by the way?
No.
Did you know about that?
No, I did not.
Okay, you know what Wolfram and the Heart is, right? So that's, for people who don't know, that's the law firm from Angel. That are the evil people who are representing all kinds of, and they're trying to do all kinds of bad things. In Thor's vision, when he first goes in, there's a part where he, like, turns around and there's a wolf around.
That's awesome.
That was a Joss thing, obviously.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I was like, that was really cool.
Yeah.
I don't think it was pointed out until years later. But,
that's really funny, though. Yeah. Because I was going to say, like, I felt like Thor's vision was, like, kind of, like, I mean, he goes off because of his vision, and then I don't know what the fuck he was doing.
Yeah.
But it did make me think of Ragnarok later on, because I was like, oh, it's like, he's too late to save his people, and that's what Ragnarok is. So, I was like, ah, maybe. And then, like, Tony's vision, I'm like, I feel like we're going to see something like that in one of the Avengers coming up. Like, everyone's going to die, but not really.
Yeah.
So, I was like, all right.
I think everybody fucking dies in the first movie, and that's probably where it is, but yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, I can see, I can,
but I don't know if I believe
that
he has a chance to, like, save everybody. I think he's going to be one of the people
who,
like,
dies. Right, he's going to be one of the people
who
dies.
I know. It'll be interesting to see how they play that out.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, like, what else? Who are the other characters? They don't even matter. Like, I already said that Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver were whatever to me. It was, you know, sweet that he sacrificed himself to save that random child, so, you know.
And Hawkeye. Which is then paid off slightly. In Civil War, when he's like, I owe a dad.
Yeah, yeah. But I did, like, given that everything that the twins did was together, he died, and then, like, she has a little silent scream, and then fighting, and then, like, the next scene, there's, like, no, it's over now.
Yeah.
I was like, well, we only see her, like, one more time.
It's funny, because spoilers for Infinity War, kind of. So we've basically seen, like, everybody seems to be back in, everybody was in Atlanta at some point. So, and it's still hard to know who was there, if they were just there for, like, the photo shoot, or if there's lots of flashbacks. I think it's going to be a lot of flashbacks to people. But he's one of the few people who I don't think was ever spotted in Atlanta. And I really thought, I honestly thought it was going to be, everybody dies. She can, she has enough as that power that she can bring everybody back. And that she changes things and brings back her brother. But I don't know if that's what's going to happen. It might be more, it's going to be Doctor Strange who uses the time gem instead to bring everybody back.
Well, they seem like they care more about Doctor Strange than her, so probably.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll do it together, but she won't bring back her brother.
It would be weird if she changes all kinds of things and it's not like, here, look, Quicksilver's back too. Yeah. She's over it.
I don't know. She's moved on. She's moved on. You know how they
Has Vision now. She's fine.
Vision? Okay, no, I guess my whole thing is, like, I get where Tony's coming from, but it also just feels like they're like, well, we need this to happen in this movie, so he's like...
Tony makes lots of bad decisions. Yeah. I think that's basically what we're supposed to get. I have to
create this now, and then Banner's like, oh, okay. And then the second that it gets created, it's like a crazy evil robot destruction machine, and I was like...
It just went there. You didn't even think about this.
Yeah. And then Vision comes out.
The best part is he literally just said, Steve's the boss, and then doesn't talk. He's like, no, but we don't want to talk to him because I don't want a committee.
Yeah.
And then the next movie, he's like, we need a committee.
Exactly.
He's like, never mind.
He learned from Ultron.
Except that he totally learned the wrong lesson. You need a committee, Tony. You need to discuss with people. Yeah.
We did mention it while we were watching that the opening sequence looks very CGI.
Yes. I never noticed that before, how CGI it looks. I mean, obviously it had to be, but I've never really paid attention where I was like, wow, this looks really, really fake most of the time. But it's okay. I do really like it, though. Even if it is a bit jarring, because it so throws you into the action, you're like, okay, wait, what's going on? It does a really good job of showing how in sync they all are, and how they've come from Avengers to this, and how fluid it is, and how they really know each other well enough to rely on. They're a team. They're a real actual team now, even though by the end of the movie, half of them are not part of the team anymore.
Right. But yeah, it definitely does. But I agree with that. It made it look like they were really in sync.
Yeah.
Which, again, makes it all the more annoying when Tony's like, JK, I am not in sync with you.
I'm not going to talk to you guys.
But I did,
I was going to say one part of that thing is when they're talking about things and... I think it's Thor who says, like, something about we need to take out that... No, it's Natasha says we need to take out that bunker, and Hulk immediately does it. And I was like, is Hulk on comms?
Yeah.
Like, does Hulk have comms in his ear? I guess Banner might have, because he wasn't supposed to go... He wasn't supposed to turn into the Hulk.
Right. So it might be left over from Banner.
Yeah. That's funny. I was like, I just think that's funny. Does Hulk understand Natasha just asked for help, and he gave it to her?
Yeah, I mean...
Or did he just go smash things?
He's very obedient, even as the Hulk.
Yeah.
She's like, go be a hero. Okay, Natasha. Thanks. Throw me in this pit so I can become the Hulk. Yeah, and seriously. Go be a hero. I was going to say that the one little gag that I did really like was the who can lift the hammer? Thor's hammer?
Yes.
That was a fun little scene where they were all going around trying to lift it. And then when Vision just picks up, they're like, oh, well, he's synthetic, so it doesn't count.
It doesn't count. He's a baby, basically. It doesn't count. It's not real. But Thor's face, like, when Steve...
Yes, Steve was almost...
I love that he doesn't seem... Like, he's a little flabbergasted by Vision, but he's not threatened by... But Steve, he was threatened.
Yeah, he was like, totally, wait,
what?
Steve's about to rule Asgard.
No. Yeah, that was so funny. Yeah. So everybody, when they all have their vision, we all notice, and I've never noticed this before... I don't think it's actually supposed to be Bucky, but in Natasha's, the guy who's, like, holding her where she taps out, like, he has long black hair.
Right.
It's the same length, but I think he has two arms. I think.
He has two arms.
I don't know. I think it's his right arm that she taps out, though.
Oh, yeah.
So it's entirely possible. We'd have to watch it again. It was so brief, we didn't pay attention. But
yes.
I thought that was weird. And then Matt immediately said next to me, was that Bucky?
They do have a history together, right?
Yeah, they're supposed to.
In the comics,
that would be really interesting if that ends up being.
Right, and then she had hid that? Oh my god. More secrets.
Does she know?
Right? Oh, that's
true. Does she remember enough to recognize who this person is? I don't know. You'd think the metal arm.
She would give it away.
I don't think it was him. But it would be an interesting aside if you did that.
Right.
If we do get a Black Widow movie, which they supposedly are working on something.
Fingers crossed.
And you did Black flashbacks.
Yeah, it wasn't meant to be him, I'm sure, but once they listen to this podcast, they're going to be like, what a good idea. And
let's do that.
Exactly, they'll incorporate it.
We'll just, go back and shade it a little bit so you don't see that part enough to know whether or not.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's all I have got.
Yeah.
I think that's everything. Yeah. I liked...
Mm-hmm.
At Christmas, I made my in-laws skip this movie, and I realized later that I shouldn't have. And I was like, oh, I don't really want to watch it. I was like, it's not good. It's not as bad as I thought.
It's definitely not as bad. I thought it was going to be, the worst one. But I'm like, no, it's, only the fourth worst one.
Yeah, I think I've got it fourth or fifth worst. Yeah.
And really, the only part that you really need in terms of Infinity War is, Roy. Thor coming back and being like, oh, we've got four Infinity Stones. Clearly this means something's coming.
Something's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, you don't actually need to see the Thanos cutscene at the end where he's like, I'll do it myself. Which is hilarious only if you, realize this is literally the first time he's gotten out of that fucking chair. Exactly.
Thanos is like, fine. I guess I'll do something.
I'll stop sending the minions.
I always wonder about that. Sometimes, how did y'all get there? That you can just be sending minions instead of actually doing your own work.
He got lazy.
Yeah.
He didn't want to do exercise anymore. Send people out. And he's like, fine, I'll get up and move.
It may take me 4 more years, but I will do it.
Yes. It does take him 4 more years, but he does it. Anyway. So, our next movie was Ant-Man.
Which
is hilarious because I have literally no notes for it. I had so many notes that we just went through.
You were so engrossed.
There you go. Because it's just a fun movie.
Yeah.
A lot of the times, the individual, or the intro ones, the first ones for each character, don't really matter to the big over... So I won't have as many notes.
Right.
Because you're not looking at it in the big picture of the MCU. I mean, obviously it's important, because Ant-Man is cool, and he's a part of the team. Although he's not in Infinity... Well... If he's in Infinity War, it's not very much.
Yeah. But no, it is just a really fun movie. It's just an enjoyable story. I think they did a good job with making him interesting and making him rootable, They really made him like a Robin Hood.
And Paul Rudd is just awesome. Yeah. So, it was one of those things where you're like, I never thought of you as a superhero, but you're a perfect choice for this superhero.
Yep.
He probably couldn't have worked with any other ones, but he is exactly who you want for Ant-Man.
He is a great Ant-Man, for sure.
Really great.
Yeah, and his supporting cast is excellent.
Yep.
Yeah, all his little,
Michael Peña.
Michael Peña is the best
part of the movie.
He's so funny.
Everybody loves him.
Yeah.
I'm like, can we find out ways to push him? Can he be an Avenger? Let's figure out a way.
But he is going
to
be Ant-Man in the Wasp, right? I think we saw him in the trailer.
Yeah, he's in it. You're like, I don't know, he can knock people out with one punch. Does Steve even get to do that? I don't know. Do we ever see Steve just knock people out? I'm sure we do at some point. He does so many, he usually uses the shield though.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, he can knock people out with one punch.
He's obviously useful in a fight, for sure. And I really like Hope as a character, and I thought Evangeline Lilly did a good job, but I find her sort of in terms of being mysterious, standoffish girl is a more interesting introduction than other mysterious standoffish girls.
Yeah.
And I really liked how much they fleshed out her relationship with her dad.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got that backstory on poor Janet, who...
And you see poor Janet?
Yeah.
When he goes subatomic?
Yeah, I was about to call it the microverse, but that's the atom. So it's subatomic... The quantum realm,
which is also then shown with Doctor Strange.
Yes.
So obviously this becomes very important going forward.
Yeah.
You see her twice, I think, because you see her when he's going in.
Yeah.
And then you see briefly again when he's coming back out. And yeah, I mean, you know, he didn't see her, but we did. Mm-hmm. And you gotta hope that eventually we're gonna get her back out of here. Well, yeah. Which we are, because she's Michelle Pfeiffer.
Because she's Michelle Pfeiffer. And clearly she was Michelle Pfeiffer in this film as well.
Yes. Yes, of course. That was her in the picture.
To cover her up.
Yes, that's exactly
who. Know it was Michelle Pfeiffer.
I can't remember who it was supposed to, who actually was.
Was it someone?
Yeah, they used somebody.
Really?
Like, I don't think it was anybody big, but.
Oh, yeah. Because like, obviously it was a human being, but.
Yeah. I think people know who it was, but obviously she doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So, sorry, woman.
But yeah, I really enjoyed it. Fucking bald head guy, whose name I can't remember.
Darren Cross?
Yeah, character? But I mean the actor. I don't remember the actor's name. But...
Corey Stoll, yeah.
Okay, well, that guy was really, was really good at being a crazy bad guy. Like, he was like, there was no shades of gray there from the start. He's like, let me turn you into goo. Dude who said he had concerns.
Literally, that's all he's like, okay, so I have some legitimate concerns, dude.
Yeah.
This could be used against us.
And he's like, that's fuck bad. You.
But, you know, obviously he didn't care because he sold it to Hydra. So yeah. He's like, they're doing good work these days. Mm. They're not what they once were.
What? Yeah, but he's like, and he like really believes that he's a good guy. Like, he's like, I don't understand why you don't want to be my dad.
Yeah.
Hank, what's up with this?
Yeah.
So
bad.
It's quite interesting. And then that he, yeah, I don't know. It was quite interesting. I thought there was a lot more.
The little girl who plays Cassie is also one of the best parts of the movie.
Yes,
she's adorable.
I can't remember the name of the actress who plays his ex-wife, but she is Fern from Jawbreaker.
And she's also in Arrested Development. She plays the assistant.
Oh, okay. So,
have you watched
Arrested Development? Yes, I've seen Arrested Development. Yeah, but I can't remember.
I can't remember
who she is.
Kitty.
Judy Greer. Thank you. Judy Greer is the actress. What I was going to say something about that. Just like, I thought it was an interesting dynamic because, like, usually if you have, like, an ex-wife and a kid, it's like wanting to get back with them.
Yeah.
And it's like the new guy is like a bad guy or a villain or something. You know, something's wrong with him, so you have to get back. But, like, obviously that's not the case here. He just wants to be part of his daughter's life. And the cop / boyfriend, whatever he is like a really good guy.
Yes.
So, I don't know. I thought it was nice.
It's actually nice to see that kind of dynamic.
Yeah, a blended like family.
They are kind of a family together at the end. And she has a new pet.
And she has a new pet! Oh, God!
I was like, they're letting her keep it?
Yeah,
it's weird.
So creepy. So creepy.
It's so creepy.
What does the ginormous aunt eat? What was she giving it? Was she, like, food her cereal or something?
Food from the table. It looked like vegetables or something. I don't know. It was weird. It's really weird.
I wouldn't be able to do that.
No. Mm-hmm.
But she likes ugly things. So.
Yeah, she likes ugly things, so of course she would want giant. So
that was a nice through line there.
She's not afraid when Yellow Jacket gets there.
Right.
She likes ugly things, so she's just kind of like, where's my dad?
Right.
What are you doing? Yeah.
I always wonder, like, what Edgar Wright's original movie would have looked like, but...
The script is still attributed to him and Joe Cornish.
But it's just got also Paul Rudd and whoever that fourth guy is. Thank you.
Yeah. It's so hard because it's like, obviously it would have been really great to see Edgar Wright's version, and I feel for him, but at the same time, his movie was supposed to be the first one. It was supposed to be before Ant-Man. And he went, they let him have time. It was supposed to be before Iron Man.
Yeah.
I'm tired. And they let him go off because his producing partner was dying of cancer.
Oh.
So he asked to be able to do the last film in the Cornetto trilogy, mm-hmm. The World's End, and they let him go do that. So it was 8 years later that they finally parted ways because it finally became clear that it wasn't working.
Yeah.
And it's interesting though, because, I mean, we'll never, who knows if we'll ever get the full story.
Mm-hmm.
Because this all happened at the same time that Joss was working on Ultron.
Right.
So you have to wonder how much of it was he really having problems with Feige, or was it Perlmutter again?
Right.
And that was the issue. I mean, I think part of it was probably, I'm sure it's not entirely Perlmutter in this case. Mm-hmm. Because, to an extent, he probably lost some of the creative license because he now had a bigger universe he had to fit it into.
Yeah.
As opposed to the first film where he would have had a lot more license.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that's probably at least part of it. I do know he said he's never seen it.
Oh, really?
He's never watched this movie.
Wow.
it hurt too much.
Yeah.
And I can't, I'm 8, like, years of your life.
Yeah.
I can't blame him. But I don't think I can blame Marvel for it.
Right.
Either. I think.
At some point you had to.
Yeah, yeah. I mean.
And it was, and it's a good movie either way, so.
Yeah.
It worked out.
It was a really fun movie.
Yeah.
It's my mom's favorite out of all the MCU films.
Yeah, that was
surprising.
She came
up and watched it with us.
But
yeah.
I do enjoy it a lot more than, like, I remembered enjoying it, but, like, I don't know. It just. It was more
it's a good
than I
heist
thought.
Movie.
Yeah, it is a good heist movie.
And everybody's fun, and yeah, it's just fun, silly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a feel, it's just a feel good movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's not, like, significant.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
It'll be nice to see the Wasp join
yes.
in more. In
yes,
the
I'm excited
movie.
For her.
Yes.
She's wanted this for so long, guys.
Yes.
Her dad
her
was being a butt.
Her moment.
Yeah.
He's being protective.
He was. He was being overprotective. Although I did think it was funny, like, because I like that scene where he tells her, like, he's like, well, you know that it's because I'm expendable and you're not. Like, and it's like, yeah,
yeah
of course, like,
it's, like,
it's funny that you didn't have this conversation with him before. Like, I know you're doing this to protect me, but, you know, instead of like, why won't you let me? Because you don't trust me? Like, I think you know it's because he doesn't want you to die.
Yeah.
And he doesn't care if this dude dies. But.
But
no.
Yes, knowing what had happened to her mother.
Yeah, that would have been really helpful.
It would have helped.
That
she would have understood.
Yeah.
In a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, like, it's not like, at least it isn't a, what's the word? Hypocritical thing where he's still going out in the suit but won't let her. You know, like, he's
yeah.
also not doing it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's fun. And Ant-Man and the Wasp this summer.
Yes.
Which, you know, it'll be good. Giant Hello Kitty instead of giant Thomas Tank Engine.
Yes! It looks like fun.
Yeah. It should be good. Alright, I think that's it.
Yeah, I think that concludes our Marvel rewatch.
This week.
Right.
God, I wish it was the conclusion. Like I said, man, I am like the biggest Marvel fan, and even I'm like, oh my
You're like,
God.
I'm tired of this.
We see the light at the end of the tunnel. We're in the same month as the end of this.
Oh.
There you go. Right? And then next week we get to watch Civil War, which makes me happy, because I love that movie. I've watched it a million times.
It is a good movie.
I play it all the time. Mostly because Bucky's pretty.
Ah.
I'm just kidding. No, it's a really good movie.
Yeah.
Obviously, I love it. So, anyway, I will let you introduce.
Yes. So, next up, I will put uneven audio from my telephone interview with Alberto Rosende from Shadowhunters. He plays Simon Lewis, and he teases a little bit about the Mark of Cain, or is it that? And also the Saya relationship and upcoming Susie scenes in 3B. So, here you go.
Alberto?
Yeah.
You're on with Tatiana.
Hey, Tatiana.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's going very well. How's it going for you?
No, going very well. Very well. I got to sleep in today. I'm getting lunch with Jade later. It's going to be really cool.
That's awesome. Well, Shadowhunters is off to a great start this season. So
yes.
I just wanted to ask you, we just found out that the Steely Queen branded Simon with something.
Mm-hmm.
So can you tell us a little bit of how that's developing? How soon is Simon going to find out what it is?
Okay. Well, I know that we saw that it has very violent and dangerous repercussions, whatever this brand is. And we know that Simon does not like to be in violent and dangerous situations. So you can bet that that's gonna be on the top of his priorities to figure out what it is, how to prevent that from happening, and how to work with how to be like what is this thing, and frankly how do I get it off, like what how long is this here, and
right.
That's definitely gonna be a big part, because we know Simon does not like any of what that mark now shows is capable of.
Now in the book, Simon was branded the Mark of Cain. Do you know, as an actor, if this is that, or just a different take on it?
Well, I don't know as of yet, because, like, we know that also in the books, the Mark of Cain was given by Clary,
mm-hmm.
not by the Steely Queen. So there is a difference, and, our books, our showrunners do, I think, a really great job at doing new things in a different way, taking things from the books and saying, like, they did it this way in the books, but how can we do it our way? That still lends itself to that, but also creates a new story for all of our old fans. They don't feel like they're just seeing what they've already seen.
Right.
So it's somewhere in the middle of that.
I guess
I could stay. That's nice.
No problem. So obviously there's some vampire werewolf tension going on right now, especially with you dating Maya and what just happened.
Right.
Yep. So is that going to snowball a little bit for Simon?
Well, I mean, absolutely. Well, we knew that going into a relationship with the werewolf as a vampire, that was going to present its own challenges. And now we're starting to see the beginning of that. Is it a coincidence that it happens right after the Sealy Queen ominously warns Simon that wherever he walks in the daylight, darkness will follow? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I definitely think that we're going to see there are going to be consequences because technically Simon's one of the pack living there outside the Jade Wolf, and he just injured another wolf. Mm-hmm. So how that plays itself out, also how's that going to, with Luke gone now that this has happened, he wasn't there. There's a bunch of things that come true with just the Shadow World. Things get worse before they get better.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Now, Simon has gone through a lot of transformations over the course of the show, obviously physically, he became a vampire, but also in terms of his maturity and his relationship. So what is your favorite aspect of Simon's development so far?
I think it's his ability to continue. I say this, and now I'm not sure if it's the right answer, but it's his ability to keep moving forward, to keep waking up every day and saying, all right, well, I'm just learning. Because essentially, imagine this, like, he lived for 18 years knowing the world to be one way. And then in a matter of a few months, everything has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's literally just a little kid again, trying to relearn, but with the awareness of an adult. So imagine how frustrating that must be, to be someone that young, but have an awareness that only counts for half of the knowledge you need, or even a third of that knowledge. So, very, very frustrating, very, very difficult.
All right. Well, one thing that isn't...
Did I answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I love that about Simon, too. I think that he always perseveres, and he always has an optimistic attitude when doing so, which is very hard to do.
Yes, definitely. Yes, absolutely.
I was going to say, one of the things that's less frustrating, outside of the tension surrounding it, is Simon and Maya's relationship so far, which seems to be going very smoothly, aside from, an awkward dinner date or two. So what is it that you think works so well with the two of them that didn't quite work with, say, Clary and Simon?
I think it's their connection of being mundane first, which Clary, I guess, technically never was a mundane.
Mm-hmm.
She was always a shadow hunter. She just never knew it. But living in the mundane world, they're all mundanes first. And then Clary became a shadow hunter, which is like the elite of that world right now. The shadow hunters decide the rules, whereas mm-hmm. Simon and Maya became downworlders, where they still kind of have to live. There is no structure for what they do. Remember, all shadow hunters fight demons. They have jobs within that, but they all have their world that is like structured for them, whereas downworlders have to live this weird double life where they live kind of a mundane life and then kind of not. And then because Simon's even a daylighter, it's even less normal for a vampire. He's the only one. So he's lucky to have Maya there to really be able to ground him as just a person. Someone else that he sees going through it that knows a little bit more about the shadow world, but is still relatively on the same page as him, figuring it all out.
I love that. They're very sweet together. But
we
do know Jordan Kyle is coming soon, and obviously even though the books are different, there is a relationship
mm-hmm.
there. So what is that dynamic like, and might that affect his relationship with Maya in the future?
Well, I don't know how much I can speak to that. Also, I don't know how much I remember because now we're on episode. We just got the script for episode 18, and we were shooting 16 and 17. And things got weird. So, as with everyone new in the show, they always, one of the things that really grounds our show and makes it very cool for everyone to watch and makes it a little bit more than just a fantasy show are the relationships that people have. And how our relationships are very grounded and real. And Simon, Jordan, Kyle, and Maya have a relationship. And then Jordan has a new relationship to the Shadow World, the reason why him and Simon meet. So naturally, everyone's going to be affected by those that new energy coming into the group.
Now, we've heard that Simon and Isabel are also going to have some more interactions in the second half of this season. Have you been filming any scenes with Emerald lately that you'd like to tease?
I can definitely say that Simon and Izzy have more opportunities to be in the same room together. And they've always had this cool closeness that we see a little bit more of.
What episode can you think of coming up that Simon fans are really going to want to tune into? Like, what's one of your favorite episodes to have filmed recently?
The last three episodes of season of 3A, so 8, 9, and 10.
Okay.
I think 9 more specifically. Nine is a really cool episode where Simon goes through a lot. There's a new character that causes a lot of problems. So yeah, episode 9. That's I think it's as much as I can say.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us for another Pop a la Carte. As always, more interviews, especially the ones we all just talked about, will be on withanaccent.com, and then the videos are on the YouTube, it's withanaccent.tv. You can follow us on our social media, Instagram, Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter, all of those, it's withanaccent, or the podcast is Pop a la Carte Pod. And like I said, we'll be back next week, Civil War rewatch, and, you know, whatever else comes up.
Woot woot!
All right, thank you for joining us. Bye!
Bye!